ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's episode of Nosebleeds, the All-Star Week edition. We just watched the All-Star game was last night, the Home Run Derby two nights ago. We are on the final night of no MLB games tonight. Brendan Shorey here with Dominic Sansone. Dom, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm doing all right. Been enjoying the summer as we're getting ready for a fall football camp up at the casino right now as we speak, but super excited to talk all things MLB here, and we had a great All-Star game, one that'll probably go down in the history books for sure.
We did have a great All-Star game, one of the best we've seen probably in the past 5, maybe 10 years, especially since they have kind of altered it a few years back. Before we hop into the All-Star game, I want to talk about the Home Run Derby a little bit. That one, the day before the All-Star game, that one happened on Tuesday. Cal Raleigh, the current MLB home run leader, ended up taking that one home. He beat Junior Caminero in the finals. And we watched the Home Run Derby. It was a great derby. But what I really want to talk about first, at least, is that first round where you had Cal Raleigh make it over Brent Rooker because he beat him by an inch, about.
Yeah, and that was something that really bothered me, and I know Brent Rooker, was extremely bothered by it too. It's like, look, in a world, yeah, okay, in 2025, we're so governed on Statcast and the Statcast era, but look, you're talking about a matter of 2-3 inches, less than an inch. Like, this is something that I feel like the MLB should have been like, hey, let's just have another swing off.
Yeah, and I think that's what Brent Rooker was upset about, and I can't remember where I saw it, but I feel like I saw something on Instagram, I want to say, where it said that Rooker was a little upset that when he found out that it wasn't him moving on, it was that he lost by less than an inch. They both hit a home run 470 feet. Cal Raleigh was about 470.6. Rooker was about 470.5, and obviously that's going to be upsetting to – Even though it's an event that's just for entertainment purposes, just all the guys out there having fun, obviously it's going to hurt a little bit whenever you lose by that much, by an inch. And we've seen this swing off happen before. We saw it last year, actually, when the All-Star week was in Dallas, in Arlington. I got to watch that one live in person. But we saw a swing off happen in that Home Run Derby, and it would have been nice to see it, like you said, Dom. It would have been nice to see that happen again. But I also want to talk about Cal Raleigh's performance, not just there, but in the next two rounds where he seemingly dominated whoever he came up against. He dominated O'Neill Cruz, and then Junior Caminero in the finals was really the closest competition he had, but he still came out a few home runs ahead of Caminero. What does this really have to say about Raleigh and his power and how great he has been so far this year?
Yeah, look, we knew Raleigh coming in was going to be incredible, and he did not disappoint. There was definitely, I was sitting there watching the Derby, and I was like, oh my, Cal Raleigh may not make it past the first round. Like, this is crazy. Like, this guy's on a Barry Bonds type of pace right now, and, he's not even going to get out of the first round of the Derby. And then, obviously, I saw Jazz Chisholm. I wanted to cry as a Yankees fan. That was pathetic. But needless to say, I mean, Cal Raleigh came out in the next two rounds and he absolutely figured it out. He really mentioned that he wanted to swing from the left and the right in the first round. We saw him then get rid of that approach in the semifinals and at the finals, even though it was a two-minute round still. And at the break, he stuck with his left-handed swing, which I think was a pivotal move and a great choice by Cal Raleigh. I thought he was getting more lift under the ball, and I thought that the porch out and right, obviously, it was very, very short. So it gave Cal a little bit of an advantage. So I enjoyed seeing him do that. In terms of the semifinals against O'Neill Cruz, I mean, that was a dominant performance. He went first, put the pressure on the number one seed here in the Derby. O'Neill Cruz really didn't stand a chance. He had to come out very, very hot. I mean, if Cal Raleigh has 19 home runs, ideally by the bonus round, you're looking at probably you need 15 or 16 to give yourself a shot. And I think Cruz was less than 12. I think he was at 11. So Cruz really didn't have a chance there. He tried to make it interesting down the stretch, but that was dominant. And then in the finals, Cal Raleigh did beat Caminero, who I really liked as the winner in this, to win the Derby. But it was just disappointing to see Caminero. I mean, he started out so hot, and I thought, oh, he's got a shot. And then the bonus round came, and he really didn't do much. He only got one home run in the bonus round, so that was a little disappointing. But Cal Raleigh, I mean, look, sometimes baseball is more than just baseball. And to me, I think something that's incredible is getting pitches from your father, Todd, and then you got your younger brother, Todd Jr., behind the plate. I mean, that's a whole full circle moment for the Raleigh family.
I was going to mention that exact thing. You had your father pitching to you. You have your brother catching, and a brother who is just 15 years old. They mentioned that in the post game interview. And when Cal Raleigh was asking his brother what he wants as like a gift, and he's like, he might be getting a car soon. He's about to get his license. But also during that interview, super cool thing that they showed, in my opinion, was the video they got of Cal Raleigh when he was maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, singing, "I'm gonna be a home run derby champ," and he is finally that home run derby champ in 2025. How much do you think that has to mean to someone to be kind of wanting that their whole life as an 8-year-old kid, kind of picturing it 20 years in the future, 30 years in the future, and to finally come back and make it a full circle moment and complete that goal?
It's a dream come true, not only for Cal, but his father throwing him countless amounts of balls, in his backyard saying, "Hey, do this. Hey, hit this way, make this adjustment." And Cal will be the first one to tell you how much he thanks his entire family and his parents. But, to Mr. Raleigh and Todd, I think that is the biggest thing for someone in that family to see that your son has grown up, from being 8 years old to a home run derby champion, and to be able to watch that and follow along with his success and his journey. And now, obviously, home run derby aside, but the tremendous season that he's putting together for MVP and possibly powering the Mariners into the playoffs.
And Cal Raleigh, a tremendous first half of the season, like you said, caps that off with the Home Run Derby Championship. Before we move on to the All-Star game, you already mentioned him. I want to talk about him, Jazz Chisholm, and his lousy three home run performance. And we've seen the videos. I saw it on Instagram. I saw it on TikTok. I've seen it everywhere. Of they showed the camera panning to Judge and Fried, and I can't remember if there was anyone else there with them. But it looked like they had nothing to say. Like it was an effort, and it's, yeah, I understand, Jazz, you don't want to mess up your swing, but coming in and hitting three home runs is a little embarrassing.
Yeah, it's totally embarrassing. Look, you are a professional baseball player, okay? And I understand messing up your swing, and there's no doubt, as a place kicker, I'll be the first one to tell you, going to kickoff and just smashing kickoffs all day is not going to help your place kicking. But you have to understand that you're there to put on a show. This is the All-Star game. You are one of the league's best. You should be able to go out, perform, hit a few baseballs in a home run sluggish style fashion, and then come back to your swing. I think that Jazz was a little dramatic in a way. I think that he definitely could have done better. Jazz is a pull hitter. He's not this home run guy that everyone else. I mean, if you look at all the guys in this bracket, you're looking at very, very powerful hitters. And not to say that Jazz isn't, but Jazz is not the type of hitter that O'Neal Cruz is, that Junior Caminero is, that Cal Raleigh is, that Matt Olson or James Wood are. Those are guys that have top 5% exit velos in the league. I mean, this is just, I don't know if it was something where we should have said, "Hey, Jazz Chisholm, you're not in the home run derby." Obviously, Judge could have been a better competitor, but maybe he didn't want to, or there were other reasons. But to me, Jazz Chisholm, you have to do better than three. If he could have put up double digits, I think everyone would have been like, "Okay, that's a decent round out of him." But three is just inexcusable.
Yeah, I don't think we'd be having this conversation if he put up even 7, 8 home runs, made it at least somewhat competitive, made him look like a professional ball player in that aspect. But three home runs in not just a round of the Home Run Derby, round one, which is the longest round where you have the most time to hit home runs. I want to say, I don't have it pulled up in front of me. I want to say the next closest was something around 14, 16 in that range. Every other player had double digits except for Jazz. Jazz finished with three home runs. A little bit of an embarrassing performance. Do you claim it as a Yankees fan?
I mean, you have to claim it. I
You
mean,
have
there's
to
nothing
claim
you
it,
can do.
but
You have to claim it, but it's just it's disappointing to see one of your guys go out and just play so poorly. I mean, he has so much more in the tank, and for him to come out and say, "Oh, I'm trying to keep my natural swing after the home run derby." Well, look, if you're going to say that, you need to say that before the event and let someone else who's genuinely trying to compete for the league's home run derby title go in and compete, because you can't go in thinking, "Hey, I'm going to just keep my natural swing and yada yada yada." Like Cale Raleigh, okay, like he probably did keep his natural swing, but he's also a guy who smashes the baseball day in and day out. So for me, Jazz Chisholm, like you need to own up and be like, instead of saying, "Hey, I didn't want to change my swing," how about, "Hey, I really underperformed. That was disappointing." You know, instead of trying to make up some bogus excuse.
I agree. I agree. And Jazz Chisholm, last place in the Derby, three home runs. Cale Raleigh, the MLB league leader in home runs going into the break, takes home the belt this year. I want to shift our focus now to the All-Star game, which happened last night. The National League wins in the first ever All-Star game swing-off, which we'll get into in a second. But this game looked like it was over before it even began. I mean, the NL jumped out to an early 6-0 lead, a couple runs in the first inning, and then Pete Alonso, the New York Met, our own New York Met, smashes a 3-run home run, puts them up 5. Corbin Carroll follows that up pretty soon with a solo shot, makes it 6-0. At that point, it kind of seemed like this wasn't going to be much of a game for the rest of the game. And we've seen the AL has had a lot of success recently against the NL. I want to say the stat that flashed on the TV was the AL had won 9 of the last 10 or something of that matter. But the NL jumped out to an early lead, and this one really did look like it was getting out of hand, Dom.
Yeah, they got out really, really quick, and it all started with the ball in Paul Skene's hands. I mean, he threw two strikeouts to start the game, up and in on green, and then he got Aaron Judge into a really, really weak ground out. So it started with him, and then the bats were hot, like you mentioned, Alonso, a 3-run shot, and the AL didn't come out great. I think Skubal gave up two in the first inning, which you don't want to see. If you're an all-star person, I know I was looking at the over-under on the game, and it was like, I think, 7 runs, according to the sports books. So that's something you look at too and be like, okay, like obviously these are great hitters, but they're also good pitchers. And when you give up two to start the game in the first inning, it's a little bit demoralizing to your team. All the energy's up, and you're playing representing your league in the all-star game. I think it was definitely disappointing, and we expected a little better out of the Tigers ace, but. Nevertheless, I think the NL really did a good job. They strung together good at bats. They got plenty of hits, and down the stretch, obviously it came down to a home run derby or home run derby, I should say, kind of like a slug off, with the hitting. And you can definitely question some of the choices made at the end by the manager of the AL, Boone. I mean, it was definitely questionable. I'd like to hear what you got.
Oh, it was so questionable. And before we get into that, I'll give it one more thing. AL Cy Young leading pitcher Tarek Skubal was the one who got jumped on for two in the first inning. Not something you want to see if you're in an AL team, as you said, Dom. Not something you want to see. Pete Alonso, though, is kind of who I want to talk about. I know you probably don't have the kindest feelings towards him as a Yankees fan. But one of I saw it on Instagram, one of either two or three Mets to ever homer in an All-Star game, a big home run that had him as the leading candidate for All-Star game MVP all the way up until the swing off. How big of a moment do you think that is for someone to come in and be one of not just one of the best in the game, but one of the best in your franchise ever to do that? Coming in as a premier power hitter and Pete Alonso being one of the only Mets ever to hit a home run in the game. How important do you think that is to him?
It's everything. I mean, you come in that moment, and it's not like the Mets are a brand new franchise. They've been around for quite some time, And he came in a big moment and delivered. And there was all this buzz in the offseason. Oh, Juan Soto, he's the next Jesus for the Mets. And it's like, look, you guys still have the polar bear. Like, this is Pete Alonso we're talking about. We're not talking about some guy who's bottom of the order. Like, this is a guy who has been an all-star, who has been in home run derbies before. And it pains me to say this as a Yankees fan, but I think it's huge. And I think, you know, we're going to get into it in the next segment. There's two teams that I think in the same division are going to take off down the stretch. And I think this is one of the guys that, like, everyone is talking about Soto. And even though he didn't make the All-Star game, he is a key piece for this Mets team.
Soto is an Alonso with a huge game. And now we'll get into it. The swing off for the All-Star game. I mentioned Pete Alonso, the leading candidate for All-Star game MVP up until the swing off. That is because Kyle Schwarber went 3 for 3 in his home runs during the swing off. Before we jump into that, in case any of our listeners didn't watch it, don't know what the swing off is, both teams, their managers get to pick 3 players each, and they each get 3 swings. So you'll go. The way it went, since the AL was the road team, it went AL player, NL player, AL, NL, AL, NL. You take the totals from both the AL and the NL. Whoever hit more home runs in their 9 swings takes home the trophy. This one, Pete Alonso, MVP up until then. Kyle Schwarber, 3 for 3, the most home runs out of anyone in the swing off. And what a performance that was for him. He looked completely unfazed up there.
Yeah, it looked effortless. I mean, you had Stewart's come out, he got one, and then Rooker countered back with two, and then Arozarena got the one. Everyone was like, okay, you know, the AL's in good shape. Schwarber, 3 of 3. I mean, there was just like, it was just like, wow, like, holy Aranda. And again, like, this is something I'm going to get into. Like, Aaron Boone, what are we doing? Like, can we really have a what are we doing moment here? Like, you have an
Yes, yes, we
AL
can.
roster that has so much talent, including a guy on your own team who probably is the best hitter, excluding Barry Bonds, in the history of the game. I mean, that is someone who you could sit there and be like, okay, this dude is 6'6", 6'7". Like, he's second, third in the league in home runs right now. I think he's 3 behind Cal Raleigh. It's like, how is he not one of your guys? I mean, you have Riley Green. How's he not one of yours? There were so many choices that Boone could have chose, and he chooses Aranda from the Rays.
And here's the thing too about that is the argument I always hear for that is, oh, but maybe he didn't want to pick someone who was cold, who had been sitting on the bench for a minute. Bobby Witt Jr. just ran home from third in the ninth. Bobby Witt Jr. just scored the game tying run to put it into a swing off. And you still go with Jonathan Aranda over anyone else. I
Yeah.
mean, you look at the potential lineups for these teams, Cal Raleigh, Aaron Judge, you could say Brent Rooker is the third.
I think my lineup would have been probably Rowley, Judge, and Caminero, or I would go Rowley, Judge, and Rooker. Again, like, this is a team that had, I mean, you look at Buxton, he was in the Derby. You have
Or
Caminero.
Vlad Jr.
You have Vlad Jr., who's arguably the best hitter, big ball hitter in baseball. You have Brent Rooker, who just competed in the Derby. And you choose, I mean, obviously Jazz Chisholm's on there. You wouldn't choose him after the performance the other night. But there were so many better choices than Aranda. I really don't understand it.
I don't understand the thought process behind it at all either. And we saw Dave Roberts actually came out with a decent lineup too. I mean, Kyle Stowers just had a 3-home run game last week. That's a fair choice to pick him. Kyle Schwarber, I mean, we saw what he did, but he is known as one of the best long ball hitters in the game. And then Pete Alonso was going to be the third who didn't even get a chance to hit because Aranda hit 0. The NL took that home after only sending 2 hitters to the plate.
Yeah, I liked Robert's choices for sure. I don't think there was really any faults in it. I mean, if you would have had anyone in there, James Wood is maybe a possibility just because of his power. You know, if he mishits the ball, he still can get a hold of it and send it beyond the fence. But to me, his choices were much better than Boone's. I mean, you had Stowers, who you made the correct argument for, and that he had a 3-home run game just a while back. And Schwarber, obviously, he did his part. 3 of 3. So Pete Alonso didn't even have to go. I mean, I look at the AL and it's really, really frustrating for Boone in a sense, because you had your own guys, and like to see Dave Roberts, like I feel like he put his best guys out there, where Boone was like, oh, we're gonna put these guys out and kind of hope in a way. Like, nothing against the Rosarena and Aranda, but there were just much, much better choices.
I've seen all the memes online about Boone picking Aranda too, and it was the I want Iguodala all over again. It's like you don't have to be unique, you don't have to be different. Pick your best home run hitters and let them go hit. You have Judge sitting on your bench, you have Raleigh sitting on your bench. I don't care if they're cold, they're still a better home run hitter than Aranda.
Right.
They're
And
still a better home
maybe,
run hitter than Rosarena.
and look, maybe we aren't having this argument if Aranda goes 3-3. Maybe we're sitting here and saying, hey, look, the guy went 3-3. We can't
All
really
this,
complain.
all of a sudden, Boone is like the manager of the year if Aranda gets 3 of 3.
But then again, like, even then, I feel like I'd still be sitting here questioning, like, Aranda, like, that's your choice. Like, okay, great, he went 3-3, but like, you have Judge, you
You'd
have Cal
question the
Raleigh.
thought process.
You would definitely question the thought process to some degree.
You would. And now taking a step back, looking at this game as a whole and the swing off, how much does that swing off help the MLB All-Star game as an event? Like, how much does that kind of entice people to watch it a little bit?
I think it was cool. Honestly, I think it's different. So I think that's a good thing for baseball in a sense. I think obviously there was the one thing that I liked was the automated system with pitches and strikes. I think that's something that's huge, and they got to try it out, and you saw a big one early on, where Raleigh was like, hey, that's a strike. Send him back to the dugout. I think it was Machado maybe.
Yeah, I
And
was.
he sent him back to the dugout, and he was like, yep, that's a strike for sure. So I think there are definitely pluses. Like, I think that, and like, I think they should definitely continue to try and implement things that are going to be in the future like that. But I don't know, in terms of like the home runs at the end, I don't know if it's the greatest thing. I think people would like to see, extra innings. But then again, like, it is an all-star game. So like, I think it is kind of neat to change it up and give it a little bit of a unique twist.
I will say, despite the swing off, whatever angle you want to take at this, the MLB All-Star Game as an event, 7.2 million billion, I forget what exactly letter comes after that, but it was the most watched All-Star event out of the major four sports this year, and it just continues to sit at the top. We see the MLB All-Star Week sit at that top again and again, year after year. And I want to get your opinion on this too, because we've seen the NBA All-Star Game has gone downhill recently. The NHL, they finally did the Four Nations this year, which was super cool to watch. But again, that this was the first year they ever introduced this. Then you have the NFL, and they have the Pro Bowl sitting at the very end of the season. No players try hard at all. It has gone from hard-hitting tackle football back in the days of Sean Taylor, leveling punters, to now where you have all these pretty boy divas like playing flag football and don't touch me. And so I want to get your opinion on this. Does the MLB have the best All-Star Week?
Yeah, it does. Look, you should be taking pride in the All-Star game. It should be not like, oh, I have to go to Atlanta to go play. It should be an honor. Hey, I'm one of the best guys in this league. I was selected by players, other coaches, staff, fans, voters to go play and represent my team and my league at a national event for the league. You should have some honor representing your team and everyone there. I feel like these guys in the NFL, they go and, they all joke around and stuff. And I get it. Like, there's definitely a point to be made about injury in an NFL type of Pro Bowl where you see guys getting injured like the olden days. And there's no doubt that football is a really, really violent sport. You got guys in the trenches getting hurt and fingers getting banged up and stuff. But look, end of the day, you're representing your sport. Okay. You look at the Big Four, you got baseball, hockey, football and basketball. The NBA viewership for their All-Star game is, like you said, nobody watches it. It's because nobody plays defense, nobody tries, nobody cares. If that's a competitive game, I think they get viewers across the globe to watch. I just, I don't understand why, like, and I get it, like, oh, you're lazy, you're tired, you don't want to play defense. Like, it's kind of the way it is in the regular season. You know, maybe there's something to be said with shortening the seasons. You know, we've seen obviously baseball is one sort of game, but like you have basketball, these games are 82 games long in the season. And we see in the playoffs, like we see these scores under 200 points total in a game. Like, we don't ever see that in the regular season. And then the All-Star game comes and it's over 350. It's like, I feel like the defense is what's keeping people around in the NBA. And I think that someone needs to step up and be like, hey, you guys need to take this seriously, and viewership will improve in that sport. Because baseball, I mean, this is not a game that's 27 to 25 for the NL. Like, this is 6-6. Close game, ended in a swing off. Like, I think it was good.
And this is one of the higher scoring games we've seen recently. You usually see these games end. I mean, the over under you said was at 7. You usually see these games in a 4-1, 3-1, 4-2 kind of score where it's low scoring. It's always close. And I like the point you mentioned about defense. You look at the NFL and their All-Star game, even like the Pro Bowl now in the flag football, they don't play defense. The NBA, if you look at 15 years ago, what the All-Star game was with Kobe, and I mean, even if you look at that time when Kobe and Jordan were in the league at the same time, they played defense the All-Star game, and it was fun to watch. Not from experience, but from what I've seen on TV and everything. But then you look at the MLB, and I guess you could say there's defense in a way that these pitchers are still coming out and throwing 100 miles an hour and risking their arm. You saw Mizorowski go, and I think he went like 102, 10, like he was throwing 98 and above for the most part. Skeens came out and threw the fastest pitch in All-Star game history to strike a batter out. So they are still keeping that competitive aspect of the game on the defensive side.
Yeah, and you saw a diving play. I think it was in left with Tucker or someone robbed someone of a double. I think it was early on. But like you just mentioned, it's the pitching's there. They're throwing velocity. And granted, like, you know, they're only throwing an inning or so. So it's kind of like a reliever fashion, but like kind of to look at Chisholm and be like, oh, like, you know, not to mess up my swing. Like, these guys are going all out. Like, going all out is what keeps viewership up in all-star games. It's just something that you can look at and be like, okay, like that's a trend. Like, you look at NBA, there's no defense. People don't care. They don't watch it. They just bet the over and they know it's going to hit every time. They could make it 500 points. Like, I just feel like that's something that needs to be said, is like, the NBA needs to find a way to get their players to say, and I know this isn't an NBA podcast, but say, hey, look, you guys need to play defense, or they need to change the format. Maybe you don't make the quarters as long. You know, maybe you make it like 3-minute quarters, like, you know, 2K style. I don't know, but there's definitely a formula in there to get better defense and improve the viewership.
And I think a big part, I guess, what their argument would be is, I mean, it's taxing on the body, all that kind of stuff. But then you look at the MLB All-Star game, they're all out there giving 100%, but they're all still having fun out there. I mean, you look at the All-Star game compared to, say, a normal game during the season where a pitcher like Kershaw on that one where he it was the Kershaw pitching the Tucker sliding catch. He almost got pieced there by Raleigh, and he was just sitting there laughing about it afterwards. And if a batter goes up and hits a double against a pitcher, we saw it on the Stephen Kwan single
One.
at the very end of the game to tie the game against Edwin Diaz, and Diaz was just smiling like, oh well, like there's nothing I can do. Whereas in a normal game, it's like he's cursing, he's throwing whatever he's doing, he's mad about it. But it's the All-Star game; they're all still having a good time, but they're keeping that competitive spirit. They're still throwing 100 miles an hour. They're still giving their best stuff out there, which is why I would 100% agree. I think MLB All-Star Game, MLB All-Star Week tops the other leagues by a million. I think the NHL comes in a close second after that, Four Nations, but MLB still takes it. And we've talked about the Derby, we've talked about the All-Star Game. On the last day of All-Star Week, a lot of people view this as the halfway point of the season. Mathematically, the halfway point was a week or two before the All-Star break. This is the big break in the middle of the season. And so I want to kind of take a look at the second half of the season. We see the Tigers are leading the AL right now. They're the one seed. The Dodgers are the first place team in the NL. Are there any teams you see in either the AL or the NL that A, either have been playing well but are going to go make some big moves at the deadline and take off with the division. Any teams that say we're pretty poor in the first half are going to turn around and be a playoff team. Anything that you think will be a pretty big either turnaround or take off for a team?
Yeah, we'll start in the NL. Two teams, same division, that I think are going to continue to take off. They've been taking off. You know, the Mets had a very slow, I think it was, what's last month, June, so May. But the Mets and the Phillies are going to continue to play great baseball. I mean, you look at the Mets, they have the best record at home in baseball at Citi Field down in Queens. And you look at the Phillies, you just had Schwarber go 3-of-3 in the home run hitting at the end of the game for the All-Star game. So I think those are two guys too that can carry momentum back to their teams and power them through the second half of this baseball year. And you look at a team that maybe is going to backdoor in the playoffs, and the NL is very, very competitive. But I think it's the Arizona Diamondbacks, shockingly. I think that, and I know there's a lot of rumors about, you know, their ace probably leaving or going somewhere at the trade deadline to maybe New York. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think this Diamondbacks team has potential right now. They're just under 500, 3 games behind 500. They're 485, and that's a great division. They got the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants. Now, the Rockies are pretty much an automatic win as long as they play the way they should. But those three teams, they have to play probably another 15 to 20 times. So that's the only challenge there with the Diamondbacks. I think if you put them in another division like the NL Central, I think maybe they got a shot. You know, obviously that's a very good division as well. But in terms of the AL, I look at this division and I want to say the Yankees are going to pull away, but they just can't prove that. I think the Red Sox are a team that's going to maybe get in the playoffs now. And if you asked me a month and a half ago, I would have told you no shot.
I think so too. I actually originally had the Red Sox as a playoff team beginning of the year, lost hope, and now there is, whether you want to call it hope or whether you want to call it seeing kind of how things might play out. My teams, I'm gonna sound very cliche taking this team, but I'm gonna take the Dodgers. I think they, I don't want to say take off with that one seed, but I think they will take off and kind of take the division. They were very injured in this first half of the season. They're going to have players returning soon, just over and over again. And then you see Shohei, since he has taken the mound, he's only been batting 200, but he just got a week off. He got to go participate in All-Star Week, but at the same time, it gives you a week off to kind of reset. And I think once they come back, I think he will pick that up. We've seen him in the past. He's been great while doing both on the mound and hitting. I think he will pick up that average since taking the mound for the first time. And then I have one team in the AL, and I'm coming at this in a completely biased way, but I think they're going to turn around, the Texas Rangers. It's my team, and they have looked pretty average all year. The pitching is elite. You have Jacob deGrom, who's having his best year since he was on the Mets, since that Cy Young year. You have Nathan Eovaldi, who's sitting with a 1.6 ERA in 16 games. You have Tyler Malley, who was on a Cy Young pace before going on the IL. You have guys returning to this pitching staff. And then you look at this offense, which was the biggest weakness of this team. They were piss poor at the beginning of the season, ranking in the bottom five in almost every category. But coming into the All-Star breaks, there were 6 games where they'd scored at least 4 runs. It looked like the offense was turning it around. You had guys actually starting to hit. Seager had brought his average all the way up from sitting at 235 to about 270. You have Josh Smith, who's been one of the most underrated players in the league. Like, players are actually starting to hit. I think if this offense gets going, this Rangers team can turn around the division. We're 10 games back behind the Astros right now, so maybe a bit steep, but the wild card is still very much in play for the Rangers. Dom, any final thoughts before we close up the pod?
Yeah, I love that pick for the Texas Rangers. I mean, you got DeGrom and Eovaldi. We were saying last week on the podcast that Eovaldi was probably an all-star snub at the end of the day. And you know, I know they're your team, but I definitely think they can make a push. They got to get by the Mariners, and obviously the AL East is loaded. You got four teams above 500, so AL East stays strong. Tigers leading the Central, and then the Astros. back on top in the West. So we'll see if the Rangers can make a push down the stretch.
We're at the halfway point. It's going to be really fun to watch how both conferences play out, both the AL and the NL, packed conferences this year. And we'll see how that turns out. But that is going to do it for us today here on this week's episode of Nosebleeds. You heard all about the Derby, all about the All-Star game, why the MLB has the best All-Star week. But that is going to do it. And we're going to log off. For Dominic Sansone, I'm Brendan Shorey saying so long. Catch us next week. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.